been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday pre-ice storm edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, way out here in South Carolina. I guess we'll get the ice storm last of all the blast that's coming through this weekend. The market's doing okay today, not bad. We've got an update for the NASDAQ right now. It's up despite a real frosty report from Intel. You know, I just didn't buy the Intel. I didn't drink the Intel Kool-Aid. A little bit skeptical there of a rebound in Intel, and it is down quite a bit here today. But the Dow right now is down 313 points to 49,070. The S&P is down a little bit. It's at 6905. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, is up 52 points. I think NVIDIA's got some good news coming out of China. And the NASDAQ's at 23,487. Has gold hit 5,000 yet? It was on the cusp this morning. And gold right now is up. Gold, it's up 42 basis points, 4,934, and Bitcoin remains weak. It's down 285 to 88,890. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only registered investment advisory firm, and probably Barry, one of the states that we have clients in, which is almost every state in America,
right,
is going to get hit with an ice storm this weekend. And I think it's fair to say that ice kind of stole the headlines this past week. Three big ice stories, obviously the one that continues in Minneapolis, grabbing lots of headlines, making news at Bruce Springsteen concerts and the like. The ice of Greenland getting churned up right, this past week, right? And the ice storm that's getting ready to sweep America, driving natural gas prices up 60%.
Well, you mentioned it at the beginning of the week, yeah, and you know that's kind of an indicator. We knew that the storm was probably going to be for real because you could see natural gas prices for. And it's gas for delivery in February, so it's you know, it's basically these near term gas prices because all over we had that ice storm a couple years back where you had a lot of production was shut down for a period of time in the oil patch and it kind of slowed things down for a bit, so we'll see what happens.
Yes, we'll see if the lights go out in Georgia or anywhere across America for that matter. We talk about all the things that impact the markets. Obviously, politics impact the markets, the economy, interest rates, geopolitical events across the world, which occur on a pretty regular basis, and the weather. Okay, the weather, yes, definitely. Natural disasters too impact markets. So that's what I kind of like about being in this business. I've always been fascinated with current events and things going on in the world and whatnot, and it all kind of converges and comes together in something known as the stock market, right on down to individual stocks like natural gas stocks, like companies that mine for rare earths in Greenland in Australia.
It's the ultimate scoreboard, right?
It really is. And, you know, that's why I do enjoy coming to work every day to follow the news. And a lot of times I can tell that things are going to happen before they happen just by the movements that I see in the markets. Well, look at the prediction markets about Maduro in the days leading up to capturing him in Venezuela. Now he's rotting in a Brooklyn prison somewhere.
Did we ever find out who made that wager? I mean,
somebody
I'm still
scored
interested.
A big bet there, 400,000. Maybe it was one of the Army Rangers that went in. I don't know, or a helicopter pilot.
In that case, you know, it's well earned.
Yes. Okay. Well, we had a decent day yesterday in the markets. We hit a new all time high. We're hitting a new all time high again here today. The Dow was up 90 basis points. The NASDAQ was up 90 basis points. Gold is closing in on 5,000. I don't think there's any stopping it. It's at 4,940 right now.
We're about to hit 5,000.
Yes, and silver is closing in on 100. I mean, it's at 99-something right now. Those are your biggest surprises, I think, with since Trump was elected. Bitcoin continues to be very soft. You know, if you're a Bitcoin investor, you're not participating, really, in the new highs that the Dow's making, the S&P 500 is making, that gold is making, that silver is making. Even oil's having a good day today. It's up 2.6%, and this could be a year for the oil sector. It's off to a good start. You know, the Venezuela news could be one of the catalysts behind a better year for oil, which has not had a good year in a long time. And also yesterday, the rare earth stocks were just on fire once again. So, like I say, it's an interesting world that we live in, and I guess you would say that the biggest news, the biggest market-driving news came out of Switzerland this week at Davos, and most of it related to and surrounded Greenland. Of all places, you know, if you were going to write some surprises in the market that might come along, Greenland would have not been on many, you know, psychics or crystal ball people.
Not on your bingo card,
list.
Right?
I didn't see any of the mucky mucks up at Goldman Sachs mentioning Greenland a couple of years ago. Anyways, it definitely is the big story this past week. And I started to hint at it that it was going to be a big story several weeks ago when I had the Greenland edition of the newsletter. And we try to be out in front of things.
The Greenland edition.
And it definitely became the biggest market-moving story this past week. What were the initial jobless claims? You know, I never did see that.
So they came out yesterday. Pretty,
I missed them totally.
It was funny. It made so much news yesterday. It was that they came in. I think it was like right around 200K, basically kind of in line. I'll find the actual number, but it was honestly a non-story compared to what was going
really
on out there.
Well, that's good, though. I mean, look, as long as that remains low, the jobs market remains good.
I mean, even PCE inflation came out yesterday, but it came in line, so it didn't really make much market moving.
It didn't even show up in the Seeking Alpha news feed yesterday.
200K even. Yep, 200K even yesterday. So,
Trump saying that the U.S. would essentially have total access to Greenland under the deal that is being negotiated. Well, it'd be interesting. I mean, if you're a top geologist, if you're a mining expert, if you're an infrastructure expert, there's going to be some plays other than critical metals coming out of Greenland, whether it's trucking companies, you know, Jacobs Engineering or road building companies, which can be kind of boring at times. But there's ports. There's got to be some infrastructure built over there, picks and shovels, Levi's, you name it. We'll be watching that story for a long, long time. Imagine when they first went into Alaska and what forbidden territory. I mean, just the bears alone that they had to ward off.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You know, the grizzlies. Heck. Have you ever watched any of that Yukon territory?
With the ice road truckers or whatever. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, it's a good one.
I think Greenland's even a little bit more foreboding. Maybe we'll have some, Netflix can start a series, Housewives of Greenland or something like that. I don't know.
Well, growing up in the deep south, I appreciate the fact that, you know, in places where you could accidentally lock yourself out of the house and potentially, you know, die, right? It's
there's a certain, you can't find your keys. That's
yeah, right. the elements out there are,
or a bear
are rough. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, anyways, on the Never a Dull Moment part of the show, Trump accuses J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon of debanking him, which they did. They said, hey.
Well, they talked about it. It came
out 2 years ago. You got to move your account, pal. Yeah. He's filing a lawsuit for $5 billion. Never a dull moment. We'll be right back. Quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I got to mention Houston here. I got to record a spot, but until then, we'll just do some live mentions. That will be Wednesday, the 25th of February, and Thursday, the 26th of February. That's at the Westin Galleria. Nice spot. I'm looking forward to spending some time there. That's a rare opportunity to meet with the team. We have one-hour appointments available on Wednesday and Thursday, February 25th, 26th. And Edie is filling those appointments up for us. If you would like to reserve one, give her a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And I will be teaching a workshop, which I love doing, on Wednesday, the 25th at 7 p.m. at the Westin Galleria.
And, you get to pick your brain there.
So. Yes, we usually get a nice crowd out to those, and I try to make it as informative and timely as possible. And then I asked the guys over there and gals in Sun City West if I can invite people, and yes. So if you're listening on our Phoenix station there, the investment club at Sun City West, which it's a retirement community. They have a really nice auditorium right next to the bowling alley, I think it is, where I'll be speaking at 6:30 p.m. At the investment club in Sun City West. If you'd like to reserve a spot to the Phoenix workshop, that's Monday, February 23rd. That's going to be a busy week.
Or catch you at spring training.
Yeah, or if you'd like to munch some popcorn and crack some peanuts at a baseball game on Friday and Saturday. Whoever the Padres are playing on Friday and Saturday, that's like their first game, so you get to see all of the aggressive growth, the emerging growth guys, that someday may turn into pros.
The single A
stars.
Folks. Yeah, right.
Okay, all right. We've got, once again, from the Never a Dull Moment, the spat with Canada continues to increase. The Trump administration not happy with Carney turning to China and saying they're a better trade partner, more reliable than the U.S. is, which, hey, I think he can make a case for that and all the drama coming out of the U.S., but good luck doing business with China and allowing the Chinese electric vehicles in. I think that would crush the Canadian car business. But it is what it is, and
how well do those things work up in the cold? I mean, I've seen
very good, not in an ice storm, that's for sure. Well, anyways, they'll be working on a revised deal with China, or with Canada and Mexico later this year. And this gold rally, You know, look, gold is proving its true worth as a store of value in uncertain times. And Bitcoin has really not proven its value, that it's not something that people run to in uncertain times. And this whole bit about the Fed and, you know, having more control by the president over the Fed, that has also got gold flying higher. And it just seems almost inevitable that you're going to hit $5,000 an ounce.
Well, and central bank demand, too. You've
and
got
central
other central
bank
banks.
Demand. Right. They're not. Maybe they are. I think Bitcoin is a lot of the sanction. Well, and I think gold to some extent is moved around, too. On these countries that have sanctions on them.
Particularly, yeah, right.
Now, there's good news for NVIDIA today. China informs Alibaba and others to prep for the NVIDIA H200 orders. Okay, so NVIDIA, I see, is up 1.5% today on that news. And I just watched Micron go from being down 3% to being up 3%. That's a 6% turnaround.
I saw something where Samsung's saying they're denying a report that they've raised, that they're raising the storage price 80%.
Yes. So, I saw that. And I also saw a report on SanDisk about the short squeeze there, one of the biggest short squeezes of all time. That stock is up like 1,200% or something. I'll get to the article. Let's see. SanDisk right now, which was spun off by Western Digital a long time ago. And then, not that long ago. It was bought by Western Digital, then spun off in 2025 at $27 a share. It's hitting $501 per share today.
Wow.
It began the year at about, it's doubled. It's up 100%. It is the biggest winner. I don't think it's in the S&P 500, but it's one of the biggest winners year to date. SanDisk Samsung is denying reports that they're raising their memory prices, but every person that we've heard recently that knows anything about the memory business is saying, hey, this is going to last throughout the entire year. There's no solution because these data centers take lots and lots of memory. Western Digital stock is flying. Seagate stock is flying. Samsung is not really investable, but the stock is way up. And, of course, Micron and SanDisk. And then the companies that make all of the equipment for making the memory, they've also done well here also. And I would still say that all in all, I would say the semiconductor sector is the number one sector in the market. And one that's on the rise to keep an eye on. There's been a lot of false starts in oil and gas over the last several years. But this one may finally be real.
Particularly on the refiner side, you mentioned yesterday with like Valero and even Chevron, obviously.
And the
big,
equipment
big
side.
Right.
The
Halliburton.
And Schlumberger's hitting a new high, breaking out today, SLB, after their earnings report. And a lot of smaller ones down the line. And if you look at our newsletter this week, we now own three or four in the energy patch, which we have not owned before for quite some time. We haven't had any exposure there. I think the last one we owned was LNG. But I did pick up four over the last couple of weeks, and they will be in the newsletter this week, which I'll be writing tomorrow. And, of course, you can get 4 weeks to the newsletter, the live alerts, and the access to the app at GundersonCapital.com, our website. News, well, the Alibaba news on NVIDIA, which is good for them. This terrestrial energy, I'm going to ask around this weekend. I have many contacts in the Navy. Now, they can only say so much, but they definitely know a lot, especially on this. And several of them are teachers over there. They're teaching these guys all about nuclear, and this terrestrial energy has all of a sudden come into the limelight, IMSR. It was up 22% yesterday, saying it executed an other transaction authority agreement with the U.S. Department of Energy. on their salt reactor technology. More on that when on Monday, but we'll be right back.
But I must choose the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, this terrestrial energy, I want to bring this up again because all of a sudden it's burst onto the scene. It's headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina, a nuclear technology company specializing in Generation 4 advanced reactors. Particularly, this is the interesting part, the molten salt reactor. IMSR, which uses molten salt technology for efficient carbon-free production. The company was originally founded in 2013 and incorporated in Canada with its initial headquarters in Oakville, Ontario. They're coming up with a new kind of fuel that can be made, you know, a lot more efficiently than the current fuels. It burns, totally carbon-free. A significant expansion occurred in September 2025 when Terrestrial officially opened its corporate headquarters in Charlotte, North Carolina, marking a milestone in its U.S.-centric growth strategy. The location was chosen to capitalize on North Carolina's business environment. Okay, supposedly they have a friendly business environment.
Banking capital of the East Coast, too.
Yes, and leadership in advanced nuclear energy. Well, it seems like the Carolinas themselves are kind of becoming a leader. We have a lot of
industry coming. Yeah,
and including talent. Right, yeah. The talent coming from the Navy here, which sends all of their nuclear, the kids that are in the nuclear program, to Charleston, South Carolina. So we're going to keep our eye on this one. I'm going to do some more research on it. I've got several contacts in the Navy here in Charleston, including a couple girls. Boy, they are sharp. Woo! Man, they're in that nuclear program, and their teachers, and some of the guys there that are teaching these kids. And then we've got people that just entered into the program. They come right down from the Great Lakes. That's where the Navy now has their basic training. Now, in San Diego, I grew up not too far from boot camp, where the Navy had their training back then, their initial boot camps, the SWABIs that we called them. And then they close that down, and now they go to the Great Lakes for their basic training.
And, of course, down here we got Parris Island for Marine
Corps. The submarines, a lot of them go there for the submarines down by Parris. I think Parris Island is Marines, isn't it?
Yeah, Parris Island's where the Marine boot camp. And then, of course, yeah, real close to that you've got the sub area. What is it, Kings Island, something like that?
Yes, and then I need to go there. There's a submarine museum there. And my sister told me that there's a picture of my father there on the USS Paddle, which is pretty amazing. I need to go to that submarine museum and see that. And we had a kid last week that just left the training here, and he's been assigned to a sub, and he's going to Groton, Connecticut. He's been assigned to the USS South Dakota to help run the nuclear reactors on the sub. And that's where my father went in 1940 after Pearl Harbor.
Wow. Yeah.
And joined the Navy in Groton, Connecticut. It's still there. So some interesting history. And then, of course, at Fort Jackson in Columbia, which is 2 hours from us, that's where they send basic training for the Army. And my son-in-law is involved over there as an officer. So a lot of connections here that are good. He keeps me on top of a lot of things, development. Some stuff he can't talk about, some he can.
Yeah,
he's
right.
A funny guy. Anyways, let's take a look. IMSR, we'll keep our eye on that. The Trump administration is revising or scrapping over $83 billion in clean energy loans. I would just say there's a different approach. You know what? I mean, number one, and this all happened after he was elect, after he won the election. You know, the auto pen was flying there in the White House, and all of these loans rushed out the door in the final months after Election Day, $85 billion going to wind and solar. And, of course, I mean, the Trump administration has taken a different approach of investing in the companies. We want a piece of the action, which they've done with several of the critical metals companies, the nuclear companies.
It's the definition, I would call it, the difference between a subsidy and an investment.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's a different approach, okay? And so, and I think we found that wind and solar are not even going to put a dent into the energy needs going forward. And not to say that Biden wasn't working, too, on the chips and the nuclear. He was definitely pro-nuclear there in the end. But they're going to cancel a lot of these guaranteed loans to the wind and solar industry. Guess who's probing Meta? If you're guessing a company,
my guess would be the EU.
On the European continent, you're right. This time it's the UK. They're not a part of the EU. But they've got their regulator, watchdog. They got a lot of watchdogs. They raise watchdogs in Europe after them. You know, yesterday, and look, this is Wall Street for you. This is typical Wall Street. Number one, J.P. Morgan is a very large Wall Street institution. And, you know, over the years, I can't say a lot of people have accounts. I'm sure they do in their private banking and whatnot. Most of the accounts from the big Wall Street firms come here from Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Raymond James, Wells Fargo, etc. Once in a while we'll see one from J.P. Morgan. But, you know, we went on and on yesterday about what a horrible stock Procter & Gamble has been. They had their worst quarter ever. Well, maybe you know, the darkest, it's all the light right before the storm, right? I mean, when it gets that dark at a company, maybe that's the best time to invest in it. I don't know. I wouldn't be an investor, but J.P. Morgan joins the bull camp on Procter & Gamble. And I've said it many times. I mean, these Wall Street firms love the AT&Ts and the Procter & Gambles and the Verizons and, you know, the dogs of the Dow, I guess you could say. And there's an example. The day after just a horrible report and me ripping the stock, which I've been doing for the last several years. Why? Single-digit return, single-digit growth, good products, but, you know, there's just not much growth in that industry that they're in anymore. The pride of Cincinnati, J.P. Morgan, definitely in the bull camp of Procter & Gamble. Okay, Barry, I got a bond offering here for you to check into. Now, the symbol of the company is WOOF. W-O-O-F, that's not a good sign. And they do have the naming rights on where the Padres play.
Oh, okay.
where the Pets go, which isn't the best motto of all. Where the Pets go
connotates. Wasn't it Petco Park from years ago?
Yes, that's where the Padres play.
Yeah.
Petco is pricing a $600 million senior secured note. Listen to this, 8.25%. Well, hold on to it till 2031, That's just, can you hold on to it for just 5 years and you make 8.25%? Of course, Petco's got to be around 5 years from now.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I was surprised how long Bed Bath & Beyond made it around. So,
you know, and Petco has had the naming rights ever since that ballpark opened. Was built. Maybe
right.
10 years ago, 15 years ago. One of the great ballparks in America, by the way. I will be visiting there many times during baseball season. I love going to Petco. But the bond, 8.25%. Okay, well, you think about it, all right?
Let's take a look.
Are we going to put it in our bond portfolio? I don't know.
I will say I was there yesterday yesterday evening to get, I think, one item, but
Do we have a Petco around here?
It wasn't happening at 7:15 in the evening yesterday, but that, you know.
So, they have so much competition from Wolf online.
Oh, Amazon.
Now, Walmart Chewy. Has a whole pet division. Now, you've
Chewy.
Got Costco. You've got Chewy.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay, Tesla. They claimed that they had fully autonomous robo-taxis running around Austin yesterday. Somebody with the drone was following them and noticed that they were all being followed by a car. Is that autonomous, being followed by a Tesla car with the driver in it? Well, they're questioning that, but Tesla did have a good day in the market yesterday. And they're questioning Elon Musk's post yesterday about their robo-taxis driving in Austin with no safety monitor in the car. They're right. They were just in the car behind them. We'll be right back.
On a winter's day, you got to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Intel in the news today as they report earnings. Intel's sales were down 4% year over year. And as I look at their last four quarters, they've got 0% growth in the first quarter of last year. They have 0% growth in the second quarter of last year. This is sales growth. 3% in the third quarter. They finally had a little growth in the third. Then they're back to minus 4. So basically, no growth in sales whatsoever over the last four quarters. Now you can say, well, you know, the U.S. invested in Intel. So did NVIDIA. Intel's down 15% today. As I look at their earnings over the last four quarters, they finally had a profitable quarter. They were up; they made 15 cents per share versus 13 last year. So their earnings were up 15%, and sales were down 4%. That means their margins improved. They either cut expenses or raise their prices or a combination thereof.
Only two ways to do that.
There's only two ways to do that. And, you know, my problem with Intel, as I read through all of the statements that Lip-Bu Tan, the CEO, made, that's all I see is desktops and laptops. Okay? I don't see really data center.
Data center, right, yeah.
I see all, it seems like to me, you know, so, and that's just a slow business. I mean, have you been in a Best Buy lately or, you know, the Walmart, the computer section? They're not exactly long lines. I mean, people buy them online too and at Costco and everything, but that's not a fat, that's a single digit growth area of the industry. And he did go on and on and on about the unprecedented demand in the semiconductor industry. I just wonder, however, though, if they're going to be any kind of a major player in that area of it. He said, this is Lip-Bu Tan, he said the era of artificial intelligence is driving unprecedented demand for semiconductors across the entire compute landscapes. And he stated that the breadth of our IP and know-how uniquely position us to capitalize on these AI-driven trends. I just don't see it happening yet. And, you know, the thing about it, Barry, is we don't need these chips in our personal. We're just fine with the chips we have now. It's the data centers that need these expensive chips.
Right.
And that cost is being borne by, you know, the AI people. And not really the consumer at home having to upgrade their computers to get the answers that they want from Grok or whatever.
So, and that's kind of that next piece, right? Is what you know what they've been you know kind of waiting for, right? Is when does some of this stuff come to potentially a desktop? So then you have a new kind of refresh cycle where right you've got a new. It was kind of like when we went to 5G phones or whatever, right? Where you had that that kind of bit of a tailwind, right, for some new technological refresh. We're just not there yet, right? With the personal computer. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how that develops over time.
Well, he's bragging about the 45% market share that they have in PCs, desktops. Mm-hmm. Notebooks and desktops. Then he says in data center, we're accelerating Coral Rapids and reintroducing multi-threading, collaboration with NVIDIA to build the custom Xeon integration with NVLink technology. That's the one that they really need to, that's where their growth is going to come from. And then the other parts of their business, the foundry. That's not a high-end business. We are now shipping our first products built on Intel 18A. That's coming from their foundry. So, it's not showing up yet. That's all I know. And the guidance was not that good, and the stock is down 16%. So this is one that isn't showing signs of a turnaround yet. But maybe it's coming. And it also seems like they've missed a fantastic opportunity here. AMD is definitely cashing in much more on AI and data center than Intel is. It seems like they're completely like left behind. I mean, just judging by the stock and the sales and the growth and all this and that, that they're still mainly a PC-related business, a desktop and PC-related business. Okay, now we'll go to Schlumberger in the couple minutes that we have left. And there's where I see some promise there. Now, over the years, oil is a cyclical industry. It's very cyclical. And you look at the last 10 years of SLB, and you've got basically no return whatsoever. None over the last 10 years. It's the cyclicality. It's the nature of the beast. But lately, over the last 3 months, SLB is up 48%. It's made a massive move. And that's bringing momentum into the picture, into a lot of these oil and gas stocks. This is probably the most serious momentum moves that I've seen in the oil patch in several years. I think maybe by the end of the year we'll look back and say, there were some pretty big winners in the oil, which hasn't happened in a long time. But still, I think it's going to be the picks and shovels stocks. And rebuilding Venezuela's oil fields is probably going to be, pretty lucrative for a few companies. I also saw that he's not guaranteeing security. I mean, they're not going to be accompanied by the U.S. Navy out to the rigs and whatnot. Maybe he did promise that Hegseth will lay off, blowing them up in the water and stuff like that. But, that's still, there's a lot of risk, and a lot of companies don't want to take that risk.
Have we blown up any drug boats lately? I haven't seen anything about it.
I know he took over. Now that Maduro is in a Brooklyn prison, I haven't seen any drug boats being blown up. I guess the lady in charge now has told them, hey, guys, knock it off.
Did they say to stop running them? I mean, I don't, it's interesting. I know we took that tanker here, recently, so.
Okay, well, there goes another hour of time. If you want to reserve a spot in Houston, call Edie at 855-611-BEST, or in Phoenix on that Monday, February 25th. Edie can get you a spot for that. 855-611-BEST. If you want to get 4 weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.